How many of you have your own Bible with you tonight? Show me your Bibles. You have your Bible? Be proud of that Bible. And if you don't, take a Bible that's in front of you in the pew, because it's very important that every single person has a Bible in their hand tonight and opens that Bible to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, the very last verses. And I've got something I want to share with you tonight that's important, that each person has their Bible in their hand. And I'm going to talk about some things that are going to deal personally with you. And so before we get into that, what I'd like to share with you, what I'd like to show you is something that I hope will be encouraging, something that I hope will help you think about your Christian life and your Christian walk. And I hope it'll help you realize something that God considers very, very important in the aspect of your Christian life. Before I get to the main point, I'd like to show you or look at a couple of things here. The verse that Brother Jeff read to us, I'd like to point out a few things that we see here. We read this verse that he read from verse 23 to 31, and we read about Paul. Basically, the last words that we have of Paul in his life and what's going on. We know that Paul has appealed to Caesar. He'd been in prison for 2 years, wasn't getting a fair trial, so he appealed to Caesar. He is now in Rome waiting for his trial. There's many people that believe that perhaps he was released and then he even went back to Rome. But here it is, the last little bit of information we have about Paul's life. And what do we know about Paul? We know in verse 23 that it says that he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. Paul was an evangelist. Paul preached. And so we see that in verse 23, that he preached and he testified the kingdom of God. Then in verse 24, we see the results of his preaching. It says some believed and some didn't. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen, didn't he? Whenever he said that there are four types of soils. There are those seeds, that seed that will land in those different types of soil, that some will take root and some will not. And that's exactly what happened right here in verse 24. We get to verse 25, down through verse 27, Paul uses the Old Testament to preach Jesus and to show that God has had a plan since the foundation of the earth, since before the foundation of the earth. And then in verse 28, he says, "Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent." Brethren, that's missions. That's saying that God had a mission. Jesus came to Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth with a mission to seek and save the lost. And Paul here is continuing that mission, and now even to the Gentiles, and salvation has been sent. And then it says that the Jews had a discussion, and then it ends with preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. And so the chapter concludes right here with Paul fulfilling the Great Commission. Now's why it's important. I want each and every one of you to have a Bible in your hand. Look at that verse 31. Okay, verse 31. And if you look, what do a lot of you have right after verse 31? What do you have in your Bibles right after verse 31? You have a little blank space? That little blank space. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. That little blank space right there, just after verse 31, you notice I didn't say the book ended. I said the chapter concluded. Because that little blank space is Acts chapter 29. It is the beginning of Acts chapter 29. And it's important that every one of you have a Bible in your hand, because I'm going to show you why it's so personal. Because Acts chapter 29 is you. You are Acts chapter 29. And Acts chapter 29 is also still being written. And we're also going to talk about the fact that Acts chapter 29 comes after Acts chapter 28. So these are some things that I want to talk to you about tonight. And what's in that one little space that's right there? Let's talk about the most obvious thing. Acts chapter 29 comes after Acts 28. That's pretty obvious. We say that because one of the most important things that you need to know about your Bible is the word context. Boy, when I was in preaching school, that's all they said. Context, context, context. Boom! Context, context, context. Get it in your head. Context. So let's use that. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's go to the beginning of this book, because in Acts chapter 1, we are going to see what the context is. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we still have Jesus on the earth, and the apostles are there with Jesus, and they say to Jesus, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Boy, they're excited. He's risen king. He's now going to restore the kingdom. And look what Jesus says to him. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is the context. See, this is a continuation of what Jesus said was going to happen. He's talking about the kingdom here. When he says the kingdom, brethren, he's talking about the church. And what he said, in fact, was in Mark 9, verse 1, that "I say to you, not many of you are standing here shall taste death until you see the kingdom of God present with power." And then here we see him saying that it's going to come with power. And when we think about that, what is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom, which is the church. We see right in the very next chapter, in chapter 2, that Peter used the keys to the kingdom to open the door to the church. You see, in John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door, and he who passes through me shall be saved." In Acts 2, we see that's exactly what Peter did, because he also said that "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I shall give you the keys to the kingdom." In Matthew 16, 18 and 19, he uses both words, church and kingdom. So here he's talking about the kingdom. And so the kingdom is going to be established. And that's exactly what Peter did on that day. He stood up. He preached the very first gospel sermon. And when all those people realized, "Uh-oh, we're guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus. What shall we do in order to be saved, to not be condemned, to not be sent to hell?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Unlocking that door. Using that key to unlock that door. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And it goes on to say that, what? 3,000 people obeyed the gospel that day through baptism. Do you realize that the first church, Maori, do you realize the first church plant of the Lord's church had at least 3,012 people in it? Would you like to have 3,012 people in the church plant in Coral Springs? Amen. And so here we see the context of what's going on. And then they went on exactly and did what Jesus asked them to do, to be witnesses. And so there it is, that first gospel sermon. And then they preached more and more in Jerusalem. And then they preached in Judea. And then we get to Acts chapter 8. And we see that Philip and others went down to Samaria and preached the gospel down there. And then we get to Acts chapter 13 and something very interesting happens. They go to all parts of the world, foreign missions. From that point forward, we see missionaries plying the waves of the Mediterranean, going across those long highways and byways that the Romans built to be able to carry the gospel to all corners of the earth, as it says in Colossians 1, 5 and 6. And so that's what the context is going out and making disciples. We see the beginning of the church. Jesus Christ came to the earth to start his mission. The church continues that mission, and that's where we're at when we get to Acts chapter 28 and Paul talking about it. Brethren, the work hasn't stopped. See, there's the context. When I say Acts chapter 29 comes after Acts chapter 28, it's because the work hasn't stopped. The work continues today. That mission continues today. We still have the same great commission that the apostles received. We still have the same exact objective that they had over 2,000 years ago. And that's why understanding the context of what's going on here is important. Acts chapter 29 comes after Acts chapter 28. Now, you should have seen it whenever I said, that right there is Acts chapter 29. I think every single one of the elders kind of all went, what? What is he saying up there? I'm not adding to the word here, brethren. Don't get me wrong here. I don't want to add to the word. But I do want to show you that Acts 29 is still being written. It is still being written today. What Paul started continues today. What Paul is doing here did not stop. You know, the tradition says that Paul was executed in Rome. And so whenever Paul was executed, well, did that end missions? Did missions stop right then and there? That's it. Done. Well, our best missionary has been killed. So, yep, pack up and everybody go back home. Not even close. Here we are 2014 years later, and we're still going out into the mission field. Mark 16:18 said that even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against his church. And here we are still today, still doing the exact same things. When we think about it also, we know that the last known written book of the Bible is Revelation. And John, the Apostle John, is the last apostle to live, wrote the last book, which is the book of Revelation. And in that book, we see seven churches, the seven churches of Asia. Now, whenever that apostle died and that book was done, did those churches just stop? No, because the church is still here. The church still continues and the church still goes. And so I guess you could say that Acts chapter 29 is the longest chapter of the entire Bible, because it's being written now for some 2,000-something years with all these different people and all the different churches and congregations throughout the world that have been planted and have been growing. And I would just imagine that if Paul or John or Peter, any of them, could come back and look at the church today, I believe their hearts would be overjoyed to see that the concept of planting and watering and God giving the increase continues even today. Amen? And so for them to come back and see, and to see what's happening in Paraguay, to see what's happening in Coral Springs, to see what's happening in all over the world, in Africa and Asia and everywhere, God would, those apostles and those disciples would just be overjoyed to see that, oh, the seed continues to be planted. The seed continues to grow and take root and grow and develop more and more. Now, I said that Acts 29 is still being written. Now, you know, we don't have the pages written right here. We have that little blank space. But so how do I know? Troy, come on now. You know, the Bible says, do not add to or take away. You know, that's what we teach. So who are you to say that Acts 29 is still being written? Well, turn with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 12. In Revelation 20, verse 12, we're going to see a verse that is rather interesting, that will help us to understand a little bit more about Acts chapter 29. In Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Revelation 20, verse 12. "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." You see that? By the things that were written in the books. Well, what are those things? It says, basically, our actions. The things that we do. The things that have happened. The things that we have done in our lives. Now, I want you to sit back and think about that a moment. I realize we're not the judge or anything, but can we make a judgment call, a little bit of judgment call, about people like Paul and Peter and Philip and Barnabas and other missionaries who went out into the world to evangelize? Why, absolutely. We have their works written down right here, that they went and planted the gospel. So do you realize that if the Lord doesn't come back before your appointed day of death, we're all have a day that we're going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back before you die, do you realize that your name is going to be written in those books? Your actions are going to be written in those books. And so that's why I say that Acts chapter 29 is still being written. Because your actions, the things that you do, are going to be recorded. And so, how can anybody say that Acts chapter 29 is not still being written? So when we think about Paul and Barnabas and all the things that they did, that's why it's so important, brethren. That is why it's so important that I ask each one of you to have a Bible in your hand, to look at that space and to think about, that's my space. Because what's going to be written there about you? What is Acts chapter 29 going to say about you? We know what Acts chapter 28 says about Paul. We know what Acts chapter 8 says about Philip. We know what Acts chapter 2 says about Peter. What is Acts 29 going to say about you? What is Acts chapter 29 going to say that you did? That's why I say chapter 29 of the book of Acts is you. You are Acts chapter 29 in living form. You are writing it right now with your actions and the things that you do. Paul, whenever he, as we mentioned, was executed or ended his life, we know that missions didn't stop. We know that people did not stop preaching the gospel, and we know that it continues even to today. But it's interesting, I don't know how many people there were in the world back in what was that, in the year 30, in the year 40 or 50, 60, somewhere around there. But whenever Jesus said in his lifetime that the harvest is great and the workers are few, well, wow. You know there's 7 billion people in the world? The harvest is enormous, and the workers are still few. Brethren, we have a lot of work. We have so much to do. I tell you, just in our little corner of the world in Paraguay, 7 million souls, there's about 200 Christians down there, and I'm calculating going, woohoo, we've got a lot of work to do. Brethren, we got a lot of work to do right here in Palm Beach County. We got a lot of work to do in Coral Springs. We got a lot of work to do in Africa. We got a lot of work to do in Asia. We've got a lot of work to do all over the world. Let us put our hands to the plow and get busy while the day is young. That's what Acts chapter 29 is about. That's what Acts 29 needs to say about you. And that's what I pray and hope that you will stop and think about and look at and consider in Acts chapter 29. I pray that it reads exactly the way it reads about Paul. If I were to read in Acts chapter 29 in verse 2013, that you, just like it says right here, explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. And then later in 2014, verse 2014, some believed and some didn't. That's going to happen, right? And then in verse 2017 or something, that used the Bible to explain God's plan, and continued on in verse 2000 whatever, that salvation had been sent to that area. And then whatever verse it is, whatever year that meets your end of your life, that it will say exactly what it says right here. Preaching the kingdom of God. Teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Having done the work of a missionary, of an evangelist. It's not too late. If you haven't started yet, it's not too late. See, that's the nice thing about that book that's being written in Revelation 20, verse 12. It can still be edited. It can still be changed. It can still be written. And so I hope that I can encourage you to start today. Young people, start today by talking to your friends and talking to your family and talking to people you know on Facebook or Twitter or anything. And older people, talk to your friends. Younger people, everybody, talk to people. Get out there and talk to people and tell them about Jesus. And perhaps, you know, you don't know what to do. Perhaps you don't know how to do a Bible study. Well, then be like Andrew. You remember what Andrew did? Andrew went and got his brothers and brought them to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Bring them to the feet of Jesus. If you don't know how to lead a Bible study or something like that, bring them to the church building or call up somebody that can help you and say, hey, I need some help with this friend of mine or my family member. Can you come over and study? I promise you, there are plenty that will be happy to do that Bible study. Brethren, we can be missionaries right here in our backyard. That's exactly what they did. When Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, they started in their backyard. Then they went to all those regions around, and then they went further out and further out. You can do that too. Perhaps you don't have the wherewithal to be a missionary, to go into a foreign land. Well, then be like the folks in Philippi who supported Paul. There's lots of things that you can do, brethren. Lots of things you can do. There is much work to do. And I hope that you'll be encouraged that your name will be written in that little blank space in Acts chapter 29, and that one day it will read exactly like it did with Paul. Brethren, I hope this has been encouraging to you. And if there are those here tonight if you're not in a right relationship with God, quite honestly, your name will not be written there. You see, that same book of life that we talked about in Revelation 20, verse 12, there's two sides of that. There are the saved and there are the lost. And God has that plan that says how to be saved. It's very clear. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It simply says exactly what Paul and all those missionaries and all those evangelists and all those teachers and preachers have been saying since the beginning, that the first thing you have to do is hear the word, Romans 10:17, John 10:47. Hear the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then that hearing will produce belief. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. That's the whole point. It's to have eternal life. And so that hearing produces belief. And then that belief will produce something in a person that says, I'm going to make a change in my life. And so that's called repentance. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you shall perish. You shall perish, Luke 13:3. And so that repentance is a change that happens in the mind, that happens in the heart, that results in a change in actions, that you start doing those things that are pleasing to God. And when somebody does that, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's exactly what Jesus commanded that we do in Matthew 10:32, that we confess he is the Son of God to others. And then we see exactly what happened in Acts 2:38 when Peter preached that first sermon. Same thing that Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Or Paul, whenever he was baptized, he said, Ananias said, rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Brethren, salvation comes, friends, salvation comes after baptism. Be very clear about that. And then to live faithfully until death. And so I pray that if your name is not written in that book of life, you'll do something about it tonight. You'll do something about it tonight. At least start on the right path. Because your past does not matter. It's the path that you're on that does. And get on the right path and heading towards Jesus, or become part of his family, the family of God. I pray that you will take action. You'll do that as together we stand and sing.